Hey, it's Richard Musio. It's Your Money on Your Life. We are back. Again, I'm here without Joe. Joe gets the night off. And I've got another great guest out of Boston. The second half of the show, I'm going to pass on thanking the sponsors. Sorry, you guys. You get enough airplay as it is. And on our great website, iymoney.com, I now have a great guest. He's actually the CEO of Zoo New England, John Lenihan. John, are you on the line with us?
I am, Richard. Pleasure to be here.
Welcome. We really appreciate it. And quick background about yourself. I know you've been with Zoo New England for many, many years. Just where you're from, how you got affiliated with the zoo, and what your position there is, please.
Sure. I've actually been with the zoo for 35 years, and I started at the bottom and went through many, many different positions, caring for animals and managing people caring for animals. And about 10, 12 years ago, ended up in charge as the president.
So at the bottom, does that mean that you have like a broom and something to sweep stuff into? Or I mean, how low is the bottom where you started? What was your first job there?
My first job was technically a laborer in the bird department.
Oh, wow.
And I had promoted to be a zookeeper. That was right when I came out of school for wildlife management up at the University of Maine.
Okay, so you're a native New Englander?
Yes, I am.
Neat stuff.
Native Boston, greater Boston.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. High school in Boston and so on?
Yes. So I've been in the area for a long time and visited the zoos that I now manage as a little boy.
Yeah, that's really neat. Now, I think most of my listeners don't know, but the zoo is well over 100 years old, correct?
Yes, we actually have two zoos, and both of them are over 100 years old. So we have the Stone Zoo, which is in the northern suburbs, and then we have the Franklin Park Zoo, which is right in the heart of the city.
Yeah, I recently visited the Franklin Park Zoo. I'd never been there before. Really, really nice facility because it's situated, well, first of all, in the heart of the city, but in a really beautiful park, too.
It really is. It's Franklin Park is over 500 acres of really lush green space with all kinds of activities that take place there, from the wilderness area for hiking to the zoo to a golf course and playing fields where all kinds of sporting events take place.
Yeah, it's a lovely park.
The World Cross Country Championships in Franklin Park as well.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. But just briefly, we're going to talk about the Boston Marathon on the second half of your segment. I want to focus more on the zoo on the first half. But just by way of background, as you know, my wife, Mary Musio, is running her first Boston Marathon as part of the Zoo New England team, along with, I know you've got some other good runners, Mark, who I've met, Dave. And it's just a really good cause. But more about running later. I know, just getting back to the zoo, I got a grand tour. We were in San Antonio a couple weeks ago when you guys were having a fundraiser on a Saturday back at the zoo. So my wife and I said, gee, we're halfway across the country already. Let's go. So we did. So we went from 110-degree weather in San Antonio to 40-degree weather in Boston, although it was sunny. We got out of town the day before the snowstorm hit that literally made, I think, about 120 flights out of Logan not happen. So it was perfect timing. But you talk about a change in weather.
Yeah. Well, we've just had another set of snowstorms come through, so it's been a funny spring. But overall, the winter was very kind to us.
Yeah, I'm curious. Has anybody looked at, because we're, you know, this we're taping this a few days before it's airing on Saturday, the Saturday night. So we're about a week and a half before. Has anybody looked at the long-range forecast for the marathon day yet or not? Because I haven't.
I have not either, and I can only imagine that it's going to be a lot nicer than it is right now.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good. But, you know, I thought the zoo was incredible when I took the tour, because I said I'd never been to the Franklin Park before. But I know you guys, the history is very interesting, because I know the zoo being over 100 years old, there were times when it was very vibrant, but also times when it was almost sort of ignored. Is that correct, reading the history?
That's absolutely accurate, and we've made a lot of progress since the days that it was ignored, but there were an awful lot of decades there where it was past its original heyday and, as you say, pretty much ignored. And so we had a lot of work to do and a lot of animals. It was pretty empty when they started there, in fact, 35 years ago. There were very few animals and almost even fewer visitors.
Yeah, and I've always been of the opinion that any major metropolitan city, because of the population of kids, also in particular Boston, because of the plethora of universities, I think a very vibrant zoo is just an absolute necessity. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree wholeheartedly, and that's what we work every single day to make it more and more vibrant every day, and are making some good progress. We have a great team, not only the staff but the volunteers, the board members, the members. We have thousands of member families that are all working together to make this one of the finest zoos in the country.
And I have a funny story to tell. You've got a great marketing director in Sandra Davidow. But So anyway, we went to the little fundraiser, not little, it was a significant event, lots and lots of, hundreds of people attending on that Saturday that we were back in Boston, and I had to go to the men's room. This is a very personal story, and there were flyers out, to advertise for people to come to this great fundraising event at Franklin Park. And so I go into the men's room, and above the urinals, there's this framed poster about come to this event with three pictures on it. Mark and David and the other member of the running team, which is my wife, Mary, in the men's room. I was laughing so hard. And of course, I had to sneak my wife into the men's room to see it. She was laughing so hard. And so I said to Sandra, I said, that's obviously your number one marketing idea, right? And she just almost slugged me. But anyway, for those listeners who didn't get the joke, number one refers to a certain thing, but I thought, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So we got pictures, and it's been on Facebook, and it was the funniest thing. Just a great marketing idea, but I did not expect to see my wife's photo in the men's room. I just want to mention that.
No, we try to get very creative, and we aren't shy about where we do it.
Exactly. So, in fact, Sandra said, she goes, that's the only time I've been in the men's room, too. I'm like, I don't need to know all this information, Sandra, okay? So, that was so funny.
That was wonderful that you were able to make it.
Yeah, it was a really neat event, and it was in the tropical forest, which was nice because it was 40 degrees outside, but about 73 in the tropical forest.
Just a creature in there.
But just some amazing animals in there. The anteater Giacomo, boy, what a personality!
Did you get a chance to feed him?
Well, we watched the feeding where they put this tube up that I think it must be 18 inches long or so, and just to see that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But, so Giacomo, he's not the type of animal. I don't know if you watched him walking around the exhibit. He walked on his knuckles, similar to a gorilla.
I saw that.
So he wouldn't be too good for something like a marathon, I don't think. But we've got some other creatures that'd be great.
Yeah, but the tropical forest, great exhibit. In fact, the gorillas in that exhibit were incredible too. The one who likes to sit by the glass and sort of ponder life as people walk by. Really funny to watch.
Yeah, our grandma. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. But
we have a wonderful bunch of ambassadors there.
Yeah, but I know Mark, who's running, actually works, I think, in that exhibit. And I think, in fact, his picture up on your website is with the large gorilla right there in the background off of his shoulder.
Yes. So Matt's been at the zoo for a few years now. I think this is his first marathon.
It is, correct, correct.
He's ready to go. He just had a 22-mile run. And he's been working hard. One evening, one of the local restaurants allowed him to roll burritos and keep everything he made. And he rolled 86 burritos in 2 hours.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good skill to have, especially in Boston. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're with John Lenihan, who's CEO of Zoo New England. We're going to be right back. So everybody, please stay tuned. Right back at you. Thanks. It's your money and your life. It's your money and your life. It's a Joe Vecchio-less. It's your money on your life. Richard Musio flying solo, but actually not technically. I've got Justin in studio, and I've got John Lenihan, the CEO of Zoo New England, on the line talking about Zoo New England, an absolutely amazing two-location zoo in Boston, as well as the marathon. I want to talk about that too, but real briefly, Zoo New England, you guys, I don't know if this is really well known, even inside of Boston. You do a ton of research there, don't you?
We do. We do a ton of research and a ton of conservation programs and projects and collaborations. And, it's everything from one of the really fascinating projects we're currently working on is characterizing the reproductive cycle in pygmy hippos using multiple biomarkers. Mm-hmm. And with the ultimate aim of being able to do artificial insemination, which is really a really important component of a conservation program that involves large animals like that that are difficult to ship around for natural reproduction.
Right, of course.
And especially because there is a shortage of male pygmy hippos in the captive population, but it also represents a way in which we could exchange genetic material between the captive population and the wild population without moving any animals either way. So it really holds, and more and more, as you know, the wild world is becoming cut up by human development, and populations are becoming isolated. And without the introduction of unrelated genetic material, all these creatures, both in captivity and in the wild, many of them will become inbred and weakened, and eventually they will die out. So this exchange of genetic material is crucial to the future of keeping species wild and viable.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, extinction, not a good answer for any species. Obviously, as you mentioned, inbreeding promotes lack of health, lack of longevity, and all other factors that ultimately probably leads to extinction as well. Certainly, development in the world has changed or has affected animals greatly. Also, there's climate change that's affecting, I know, out here on the West Coast in San Diego, the increase in temperature in the Pacific Ocean has had a huge impact on, for example, the sea lion population, as well as the population of food, the smaller fish that used to be present that no longer are because the water's so warm.
That's exactly right. You know, some of these changes are almost inevitable at this point. We can continue to do what we can and educate people on how to reduce their carbon footprints and try to slow this, but at present, we've also got to find ways to adapt to it. And so we're doing some work in these areas. I can just speak for myself, the frogs that start calling were 3 weeks ahead of where they've been for the last 6 years, as I've been recording them. And so things are getting thrown off, and creatures' ability to adapt to this changing environment is absolutely going to be crucial to their future. And so there's a lot of work yet to be done. We are collaborating with universities. We're collaborating with other conservation organizations and also bringing awareness to the people who visit the zoo. So one of the things we've done is we've implemented what's called the Quarters for Conservation program, so that a quarter out of every admission that comes through the gate goes to our field conservation programs, and people go and vote for different projects we're considering supporting. And they have to read, and they read it as a family and talk it over, and then they vote with their tokens, and we allocate some funding to these different projects. In some cases, our staff is directly involved in them, whether it be saving frogs in Panama or saving turtles right here in our own state that are under threat. But then there are other ones saving snow leopards in Central Asia, or
I was just reading about snow leopards in Smithsonian Magazine. I mean, they're hard to even spot because they live in such high altitudes that most people can't climb that high.
That's absolutely right. So, you know, we're collaborating with the Snow Leopard Trust, and they've got folks that are working there in the field. Some of the snow leopards are collared, and so you can see some of the effects of some of climate change on them, and in some cases, their habitat is shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a, if we're going to save all these species or as many as possible, we really have to be working together and sharing resources and sharing research. And that's what we're really trying to do right now.
Yeah. And I noticed with the day I was at the zoo, tons of kids out. So, I mean, to the extent that we get the message about the environment and animals and so on to kids, the younger, the better.
Absolutely. And we're also training teachers. So, as a way to really touch more and more kids more and more deeply. So teachers and parents are learning right along with the kids and these things. In some cases, we don't have time to wait for these young people to grow up. We need to make some moves now. So it's important to train adults as well as the kids.
Yeah, I agree. So, John, my wife, Mary, M-A-R-I, she spells it with an I, yes, is running the Boston Marathon, really appreciates being on the team. Very excited about her first Boston. But a question, you've been in the city for basically your whole life. Have you ever run Boston? Are you a runner, or is this not something you do?
But I had it in my sights at one time, okay, and then blew out my knee in football and have no cartilage left in one knee. And my distance running days came to an end.
Gotcha. You going to be out on the course, though, cheering some people on?
I love being out there and have been out there almost every year. And so I've seen our other runners finish, and it is a great day. It's really a celebratory day, and despite the shadow that has been put over it, it remains a day of great pride for the city.
Yeah, I ran it in 2010 and again 2012, one cold day, one very hot day, so I got to see both extremes. And an amazing high-energy event. You know, it's Patriots Day, so hardly anybody's working. People along the course, basically, for all 26.2 miles, cheering you on, giving you oranges and ice and all kinds of things to help you keep your feet moving forward. And just such a high-energy event. Of course, the Red Sox look like they're pretty good this year. They're playing an afternoon game, so they come out while the marathon is, the fans are coming out while the marathon's going on. Just really neat stuff.
It's a fantastic day and a fantastic experience and a great way to experience Boston. And we also do some community service with our staff in celebration of One Boston Day that's been tied to the whole event. Mm-hmm. So it's just a fun experience. I know it's not as fun for the runners until they finish, but
right.
To watch them all come in. I'm a big fan of going out there and being near the finish line.
Yeah, it's just so high energy, but such an accomplishment for somebody to finish. So, John, I know you've been with the zoo for about 35 years, and some amazing changes and accomplishments in your time. How do you see the zoo, say, in terms of the 10-year vision? What do you think things are going to look like 10 years from now?
I think they're going to look very different than they do now. You know, we've been making tremendous headway in adding species, adding exhibits, but I think that the quality of the exhibits is really increasing. And this fall, we're going to open up a new children's zoo. It's called Nature's Neighborhoods, and it's about teaching young people about the interrelatedness of biodiversity. You know, if you compare it with your neighborhood, mm-hmm, where all different people live and do different jobs, then the kids can really start latching their arms around what an ecosystem is and how biodiversity is critical to the health of an ecosystem, and that people are part of these ecosystems, and they rely on these other animals as well as those animals now relying on people to take care of them. So it's really a message about understanding diversity and bringing it all together. And I think that it's geared for the youngest kids, and we haven't done anything really directed at young kids the way that we are with this project. So I think it's a great kickoff to our whole master plan that will change the face of the zoo dramatically.
Yeah, and boy, if people want to see something really cool at your zoo, actually it's in the tropical forest. My wife and I were just checking out some of the exhibits, and we heard some flapping overhead, and we're like, oh my goodness, those are fruit bats. Because, you know, we have some out here, you know, so we knew what they were, but we didn't expect to have any bats flying overhead. It was just so cool.
it's really a great evening experience in that tropical forest. They don't fly till the evening, but
right. Yeah, we were there. They came out at about, it was about 5 p.m. right when they came out. It was just starting. It was just before the time change. It was starting to get dark, and there they were. It was really neat.
Yeah, some of them have a 2-foot wingspan, and they're all African fruit bats in that building.
Yeah.
So that it's a great experience for people to see something they never see normally in New England, which is a fruit bat with a 2-foot wingspan.
But, exactly. John, really appreciate it. Hey, we're out of time. I apologize. Everybody, Zoo New England, check out my wife's webpage, Mary Musio, CrowdRise, to raise some funds. It's great stuff. John, I look forward to meeting you when we're back there in about a week. Really appreciate your time
on the
show. Thanks so much.
I'll look forward to seeing you.
All right, thank you. Also, big thank you to Justin Hart on the board, Dave Sniff, our program director, Craig Blanke, everybody here at KFMB. More about our Boston Marathon experience when I get back. Richard Musio, it's your money and your life. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks again.